Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me here today. First of all, just to add to the list of resources that you have available that was presented at the beginning, there's also some guidance on meaningful participation of older people in policymaking that HelpAge worked with the Standing Working Group on Aging with a few years ago, which remains very valuable. So in terms of participatory approaches, I guess the first thing to say is there's an instrumental value. We know that. So including older women and men's voices in developing policy, it can lead to success in a range of goals. Some of that we've already covered. So, you know, improved access to quality of public services, human development outcomes, as well as improved buy-in and ownership, more inclusive institutions. We sort of know all of this quite obviously, I think, and that's broadly accepted now. What I wanted to say as well is that there is an intrinsic value to participatory approaches. We've talked a lot about narratives of aging and older people, and really having choice and control is central to our dignity and to our self-worth and central to a rights-based approach to ageism and to aging policy. So it's actually, there's this intrinsic value to participatory approaches, which we should, I think, try to hold on to. It's useful in terms of addressing ageism in a more normative sense, as well as having that kind of instrumental value in policy making. And when I talk about ageism, I'm also talking about self-directed ageism, which we all know will be an issue with older people. So there's a very specific intrinsic reason for us to be focusing on participatory approaches. I'd say it's not just about capturing voices, but also hearing them and responding to them, and I'll say a bit more about that perhaps later in the discussion. But participatory approaches are also complementary to improvements in data systems. The two sort of have to go hand in hand together. What older people can offer are the sort of contextual and experiential perspectives that give data and evidence meaning and can inform and improve the development of policy, as well as informing the monitoring of programs resulting out of the sort of policy development processes in a way that quantitative data alone cannot. But we need to have that, that commitment to recognizing the voices of older people within that definition, which was presented at the beginning of rigorous and objective, evidence in the definition of evidence-based policymaking. And there's an additional hurdle, I think, when it comes to participation of older people to overcome. There's already a kind of hurdle in terms of recognizing consultation and participation and the sort of the evidence coming out of that as a valid and legitimate and equal part of the policymaking process. But when it comes to older people, we also have that additional layer of kind of ageism, the narratives that are brought with older people that we would need to overcome in participatory approaches. And then just the final thing I'll say here, because to give the floor to others, is just one example of work that HelpAge has done has been around older citizens monitoring, which is really a kind of grassroots approach to older people being trained to collect evidence about services and the sort of implementation of policy at a very local level that then generates evidence that can be collated for advocacy. There's lots of examples of success in terms of policy improvements around the world from that, but what our analysis of all of those successes in that process over many years, decades in fact, of older citizens monitoring is actually, it's not just about the results, but the process is as important as the results in terms of increasing agency, increasing voice, and then strengthening that dialogue between older people and policymakers over time.
Thank you.